That's 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me just pray before we look at God's word. Father, we do ask that you'd open our hearts this morning to receive the things that you have for us. Just pray for that precious anointing of the Holy Spirit upon both the speaker and listeners, that we might really just know what is in the mind and the heart of our God this morning. Father, would you be pleased to come amongst us and speak to us, we pray. Amen. Well, although I'm only going to speak from 1 or 2 verses in this chapter, I want to read the whole of the chapter, just to get something of the context. Now, you are aware, of course, that chapter numbers weren't there at the beginning when this was written. These were put in there by a man on horseback. Forgotten his name. We could even read from before chapter 3, to be honest. But we will start reading from the beginning of chapter 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Isn't the Bible so honest? It doesn't try and pull the wool over our eyes, friends. It makes things very, very clear that when things are going to be difficult, the Lord tells us. He wants us to know so we can be prepared. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned, and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training unto righteousness, or in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Well, it's just those last 2 verses I want to speak on, very well known verses, but I just want to really point you to the context first of all. The context that Paul is addressing to Timothy is really the last days. And we get 2 types of men that are described here. Verse 5 says, avoid such men as these. It gives a description of what they are. And then it talks about the man of God later on, in verse 17, may be adequate, thoroughly equipped. So we have a choice. Either we are going to be a man of God that learns how to be adequate and thoroughly equipped by God, or there's this other category, and we are told to avoid such men as these. So it's interesting that Paul is saying to Timothy, there will be difficult times. There will be all these terrible things that you'll have to deal with, but there is a way for you to be adequate and thoroughly equipped. And God gives it very clearly in his word. We're going to look at that now. And the first thing it says in verse 16, let's look at that again, is that all scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is inspired by God. Now that word scripture, that's a funny sort of meaning today in the multicultural society we live in. But when I was at school, I had RE or scripture lessons. And we only looked at the Bible. And we learned things from the Bible. Now, unfortunately, what's happened in this day is that scripture has taken on a much wider meaning. So scripture now applies to the scriptures of the Hindus, the scriptures of Islam, and you name it. But friends, the Bible here is talking about the holy scriptures of the Bible and nothing else. Those things that God has inspired. This is the only book that is inspired by God completely from beginning to end. There is no other sacred writing that is inspired by the living God. They are inspired often by the man's own imagination, but more than that, by demonic beings at work behind them. But this book here that we have in front of us, from beginning to end, is inspired by God. And what a marvellous book we have in front of us. 66 books of this Bible, written by over 35 authors, over a period of 2,000 years. Now, if you try and get that and organise that and try and work that out yourself and get that many people writing from different sort of backgrounds, most of them Jewish, by the way, but from different periods of time, you would not get the harmony that we have in this book. Because behind every one of those authors is God the Holy Spirit, breathing his word. I love that word, God breathed. God inspired. God is giving this word. He's given it to his servants who have penned it for us so that we can have a tool, if you like, so that all these things described in 16 and many other things as well can be real for us. Friends, all of Scripture is God-breathed. And it is important to remember that today, when so many are knocking this book, when so many will dismiss Genesis 1 to 12, or the Revelation, and say these things are really not for today. Friends, all of Scripture is God-breathed. God inspired Genesis 1 verse 1 as well as the last verse of Revelation 21. Everything is inspired by him. And woe betide anybody that says otherwise, particularly from the household of God, because it's with him we will have to do. Friends, he has inspired it all. He's breathed it all. And if you doubt that, it's because you've been taken in by the words of men, by the current climate that we live in, which says that man is flawless, and scientific reasoning in particular is flawless, and they can do no wrong. In fact, in our day and age, scientists are held up as almost like a god, aren't they? And yet, when you know some of those scientists, you realize that's far from the truth. They are flawed men, corrupt men, often with agendas, even though they may not even understand it. Because there's an influence at work in this world, the prince of the power of air, which seeks to undermine these scriptures. And that's what by and large has happened, even in the church, sad to say. This book, this God-inspired book, has been undermined so often, and perhaps more today than any other day, by those who give more credit to the word of man than the word of God. Friends, let's never fail to understand and grasp that this book, from beginning to end, is God-breathed. He has given us his heart and his mind in this book. He has shown us himself in this book. He reveals himself through it. He reveals us to ourselves in this book. If you want to know what you're really like, friends, don't go and look somewhere else. Look in this book. Get before the Lord. He will show you what you're like. He will show you what you need. So friends, all of Scripture, we need to start there. Friends, all of Scripture is inspired by God. It is God breathed. And then it goes on to say, it is profitable. Wow, that's marvellous, isn't it? I want to prosper in my life in the way that God wants me to prosper and profit. And if I take God's word to heart, this is the only way, the only sure way that I can profit in my life, is to be in this word and to take it to heart. This word is profitable, friends. But there are conditions, because there are many people that will look into this word and it doesn't profit them one jot. You may be in that category this morning. Well, what is the problem? Why isn't it profiting you? Well, let's look forward to Hebrews, please. Hebrews 4. This gives one reason, but there are others as well. You see, it isn't automatic that we can read God's word and it's going to profit us. Potentially, it is tremendously profitable. But it says there, let's read from verse 1. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest. This is talking really, the context is about the people of Israel when they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And one of you may seem to have come short, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they, that's the people of Israel, but the word they heard did not profit them. It wasn't profitable to them. Why? Because it was not united by faith in those who heard. We have to come to God's word with a believing heart. We have to come to God's word with a right spirit. We have to come to God's word in humility of heart. Not thinking we deserve God to speak to us. That's often the case. Pride is such a barrier to this profitability. If there's pride in your heart, friends, it will stop you profiting from the word of God. And that, by and large, is the biggest problem we find in our academic institutions today, where the word of God is studied. Because there's such a pride as they come to God's word. And they're applying their own intellect only to the word of God. God uses our intellect, of course. But when we apply only our understanding, our intellect to God's word, it's elevating us above the word of God itself. And we can profit nothing from the word of God. And I know people, even where I teach at school, who look at this word every day, and it hasn't profited them one jot in 40 years. Not one jot, because there's an arrogance, there's a pride, there's particularly an intellectual pride, which even exists in the house of God. This man is not a Christian, but it does exist in the house of God, where we come with our own ideas, if you like, and we look at God's word through certain spectacles. And that limits what God can do through his word. So friend, there are barriers to this profitability. God wants to profit us tremendously through his word. But if we come and approach it in a wrong kind of way, you will gain nothing from it. Not a thing. But if we come with a humility, if we come really crying out to God, say, Lord, I want to benefit from your word. I want to hear what you want to say to me. I want to understand what's in your word. Would you give me that understanding? Would you give me that revelation? And God expects us to call upon him in that way. Are you doing that, friends? Are you coming to the Lord in the word? Say, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to understand what's on your heart and your mind. And if you persevere in your looking into this word, I can guarantee God will show you something of that. Well, back to 2 Timothy 3. So all scripture is God-breathed and profitable. And then it lists these four things. I want to briefly look at these four things. Because all these areas God is wanting us to profit in, to make progress in. And it is through this word that God has given us. The first word in my Bible, it might be different in your Bible, talks about, teaching. Some words will have doctrine, instruction. But is that teaching that God the Holy Spirit is wanting to give through his word? This isn't a teaching that I can gain in sort of academic institution. It might involve something of that, where we do need to understand the truths of the Christian faith, and we do need to understand them. We need to understand them, but this is a much wider. This teaching here is an instruction that God the Holy Spirit wants to impart into your heart and my heart, so that we are prepared, so that we are equipped, so that we are ready for what lies ahead of you in your life and my life. You see, if I am preparing for an exam, or if I'm trying to prepare my students at school for an exam, GCSE math, let's say, I have to teach them every single subject in the syllabus. I don't know what's going to come up in that exam, but I am bound to teach them everything in that syllabus. I have to. If I didn't, I'd be in trouble. And they might be as well. I might be lucky and leave a topic out and it might not come up in the exam, but that is just a tempting fate, isn't it? I can't do that. But you see, we have a teacher here, the Holy Spirit, who knows what you are going to face in your examination. He knows what lies ahead of you in your life. And you see, therefore, we can come to God's word and we can have fellowship with God in His Word, and the Spirit of God can teach us and show us the things that are relevant for us individually, and yes, corporately for us as a church as well. You see, God the Holy Spirit, in a sense, sets the exam as well as prepares us for the exam and the test. And He knows what lies ahead of us. That's why we have to learn as believers to allow the Spirit of God to be our teacher through the Word. And that's what He's come to do. Look what it says in John 14. Jesus said this. John 14 and verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us. Yes, He might teach you through the speaker at the front. Praise God, He can do that. But primarily, God wants you on a one-to-one tuition. Isn't that marvellous? And there's nothing better than one-to-one tuition. He wants to get you on your own and speak to you through His Word, to quicken His Word to your heart, to strengthen your heart through His Word, and to do many other things as well. And we need to learn to do that, friends. We need to learn to cultivate that time in His Word with Him. See, the very real danger is, and I've come across this in Christian circles, where you have a favourite teacher. And all you ever do is listen to that favourite teacher. Now, he may be a wonderful teacher of the Word of God, but if you are only relying upon that one teacher, he will not adequately prepare you for the exams of life. He doesn't know what you're going to face. He doesn't know what lies ahead of you. But God, the Holy Spirit, knows every detail of what lies ahead of you. And therefore, we must learn to receive that teaching from Him directly. We need to do that, friends. Let's not be over-reliant upon a single teacher. In fact, that's quite bad. If we have one favourite teacher and he's the only one we ever listen to, that's dangerous. We need to be very careful. So, friends, let's learn to receive that instruction that God the Holy Spirit has for us in His Word as we get into it. So that first word, teaching, means instruction. Instruction in His truth. Instruction in those things that we need to learn for our life ahead, for all that lies ahead of us. Well, secondly, the second word in that verse is for reproof, my version says. Your version may be something else, but let's look at the Greek and see what it says. It means a proof by which something is tested. It means evidence. So the Word of God can give us, it is the evidence. Now, how is it the evidence? Well, the word also means conviction. It gives us a conviction about things. And that same word is used in Hebrews 11 on that tremendous passage about faith. Let me just read that to you. That's a verse. Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction, it's the same word in Greek, the conviction of things not seen. So you see, we can know things to be true even if they can't be seen. And people will often say, well, you show me God and I'll believe it. Well, friends, we see with our hearts of faith. We see with that conviction. We know it to be true because God has written it upon our hearts through His Word. So, friends, do you want conviction about something? Something perhaps you can't see with the eye? Where are you going to get that? You're not going to find any evidence in the world. The evidence is from this book. God the Holy Spirit will write it upon your heart. He will give you the conviction that this is true. That yes, indeed, God did make the world in 6 days. Yes, God did flood the world completely in Noah's day. It's a conviction that God gives us as we give ourselves to God's Word. So friends, it's a conviction through His Word. It's tied in with that faith, of course. And then thirdly, what's the next word? The next word in my Bible is for correction. Oh, we don't like correction, do we, children? Or do we? Correction. None of us like to be corrected. But the word actually means improvement. I like that. God wants to improve us. And he does it primarily through his word. This is where we're going to improve. Now, what is it? What sort of improvement are we looking at here? It doesn't mean an improvement in my academic understanding of Scripture. It doesn't mean an improvement in how I understand justification by faith and all these other words. We need to understand them, of course, and be aware of them. But it doesn't mean that. It means, actually, in the Greek, an improvement of life and character. You see, that is how God speaks to a lost world. He is not going to speak to a lost world through me having all my T's crossed and all my I's dotted, knowing everything there is to know about justification and everything else. God is going to speak through to a fallen world through your life, through your character, through improvement in your life and improvement in your character. And the improvement that we are looking at here is the improvement that only God can give. You're not going to improve yourself, friends. You can make as many New Year resolutions as you want. It's not going to do a whit of good. Only God, by his Holy Spirit, can improve you. And it's through the word that process begins and really ends. James talks about the word of God being like a mirror. If we are a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word, he says it's like coming to a mirror, looking at your face, going away and forgetting what you look like. Now, I might want to forget what I want to look like, but I'm sure you don't want to forget what you want to look like. But the word of God acts like a bit of a mirror. And it shows us what we're like. And it shows us where we need to improve. It shows us a particular attitude in our heart that isn't quite right. And God wants to improve that. He wants to change me. He wants to improve my character. He wants me to take on the character of his Son. The character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is possible potentially for every believer who abandons themselves to the word of God. And it is abandoning ourselves to the word of God. But what I forgot to say at the beginning is that primarily the main reason that this isn't affected in many Christian lives is because we don't submit to the word of God. We don't submit to what God's word says. We elevate my own understanding. Or we'll elevate something above what God says in his word. I don't care if the rest of the world says something about a certain issue, but God's word says something different. It's God's word that I trust. It's God's word we have to follow. And that is what submission means. We submit to what God is saying. If we do that, friends, God is able to use his word to change us, to do these things. And that word will be like a mirror to us. We will see ourselves. And God will be able to effect improvement in my life. Now, I don't know about you. You might be perfect. You might not need improvement. But I need lots of improvement. And I hope you do as well. I'm sure you do. Because we've got to start from there, haven't we? If we think we don't need any improvement, we're on dangerous ground. But when we recognize, we sang in that song earlier, that when we see our worthlessness, how corrupt we really are, what our hearts are really like, may God show us that increasingly. And he does. As we get into his word, as we get to know him, as we live in that relationship with him, God shows us more and more what we really are like, but what we really can become as well. Praise God. So friends, there is an improvement that God wants to make in our life and our character. And then the last word is training in righteousness. That word training means a chastening. It means to nurture. Nurture fully. Literally, it means whole training and education of children. That's how it's used. And the relating mainly to the cultivation of mind and morals. So it's living righteously before God. If you want to live righteously before God, you have to live according to God's word. God's word needs to be written on your heart and you live according to what's in this word. And God, the Holy Spirit, wants to train us. You see, all this is never independent of the Spirit of God. God, the Holy Spirit, is not left out of the picture. And sadly, that's so often the case, where we leave God, the Holy Spirit, out of the picture and we think these things can happen automatically through God's word. No, friends. God has decreed that it is by his word through his spirit that these things are affected in the believer's life. God the Holy Spirit will not bypass this word. He will not. And if we think otherwise, we are gravely mistaken and we are really in danger, because we'll fall for anything and everything that's out there. God works through his spirit in his word. Well, let's move on. That training in righteousness. So that the man of God. That word man doesn't leave you women out. It means men and women. Humankind. So it is that the man and woman of God. I hope you want to be a man and woman of God. One who is known as such by your life. By the way you conduct yourself. By the way that you speak. By all that the Lord is doing in your life. Well, we're not going to be perfect this side of eternity. I'm not saying that. But there'll be evidence in our life that we are a man or a woman of God. So that the man of God may be adequate. Adequate. I like that word. It actually means fitted. I think that's a wonderful description. God wants to fit you for all that lies ahead, both for this life and in eternity. And he fits us through his word, by his spirit. In all those ways we've just described. So if you want to be fitted for this life, adequate, you need to get into the word of God. So we can be fit. The word also can mean complete and perfect, with reference in particular to a special aptitude for given uses. God wants to give us those aptitudes, if you like. He fits us with them. He fits us with all that we need to serve him. You don't need to look anywhere else. You don't need to go to a theological college. I'm not denouncing them, because there's some good things can go on there. But you don't need that, friends. The disciples didn't go to theological college. Paul didn't go to theological college, although he was well trained. They were humble fishermen. But all they did, they spent their time with the Saviour. They spent their days with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing when we come to the word of God. It's not that we are just coming to a dry word. We are coming to spend time with Jesus in his word. And we are wanting him to speak to us. We're wanting to have fellowship in his word. That's what it means to come to God's word. It's not some dry academic study. It's coming to a living word, where God wants to speak his word into our hearts, so that we can be fitted, we can be adequate. Where is your adequacy this morning, friends? Who is fitting you for this life? Sadly, it has to be said that many are still fitted with their self-life. It's one of the biggest problems in the church, where we still rely upon the adequacy of my own self-effort, my own self-will, all those things that are tied up with the self-life. And it stops us finding our adequacy in Christ and in his word. There's only one place for the self-life, you know. That's death. It's the cross. It's a huge barrier to the Lord. Let's make sure it's dealt with properly, friends. So that the man of God may be adequate. Equipped, then, it says, for every good work. That word equipped literally means equipped fully. In other words, there is no lack with God, friends. If God is equipping you for something, he won't by mistake forget to do something. He won't forget or leave something out. When I'm preparing my students for their exams, I may forget a certain type of question. We may not actually cover a little thing, hopefully not, but it is possible. And it does happen. But you see, God the Holy Spirit furnishes us completely. He equips us fully. There will be no lack with him. He will give us everything we need in and through his word, so that we are fully equipped for every good work. Every good work. Everything that God has in store for you in your life and my life, you will find full equipping for. There be no lack if we are in his word. If we're allowing him God the Holy Spirit to write these things upon our heart, to teach us, to train us, to correct us, to improve us. All these things, friends, if we allow God to do that, then we will for certain be fully equipped and adequate, fitted for every good work. That's what God has in store for every one of us. And it is noticeable again that this is written in the context of the last days. More than ever, God is looking for a people who will abandon themselves and submit themselves to the word of God. Because we're living in a day where many are choosing to do the opposite. They will submit themselves to the word of men. They will put themselves under all amounts of rubbish that's out there, but refuse to submit to the word of God. Friends, we have to. And God is looking for those today who will do that. Why? So that he has a people who are adequate. He has a people who are fully trained, fully equipped for everything that he lays before us. God has good works that he's laid up and prepared for us, and he wants us to be adequate for them. He doesn't want us to try and do those good works half prepared, so that the potential in that good work of fruitfulness is not met. God wants us to be fully ready, fully equipped and adequate for everything that he puts before us. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning that you've given us your word, that we might be a people that are adequate, fitted for every good work, fully prepared, fully equipped for everything that you put before us. Now, Father, help us to have a high view of your word. Oh, Father, if we have a low view this morning of your word, would you forgive us, please? Would you grant us that repentance, we pray, that we might have a high view of the word of God and to remember how it's come to us at such a great cost as well, where men and women down through the ages have lost their lives so that we might have this word, so that we can be a people that are equipped and adequate. Oh, Father, give us that delight, that love for your word. Help us increasingly to meet you in the word. Help us not to be in that place where it's dry and lifeless. Lord, bring life to our times with yourself, we pray. Or would you increasingly do that, we ask, for every one of us here this morning. Amen.